Okay, so last week we finished up our series Control. I'm not stopping again to do another message. I've been very excited for this series. We're starting a new series, and my man Austin here, he's got the weekend off to spend some time with Hadley, and we love you, bro. We love you, Hadley. We're starting a new series, and to help Austin out, I even have titled the series. I mean, I don't know what's going on. There's something powerful happening. This series is called Check the Source, if you want to write that down. And if I can encourage you, I don't know if you're a note taker. Can I encourage you, be a note taker today. Be a note taker today. I really just have a sense that God is going to speak, whether you're online or in the building. I really believe God's going to speak into some people's lives today, and he's going to set some people free. Like, you're going to find some freedom in the Lord today in a way in your relationship hasn't really sensed in a while or ever, maybe. And so please take some notes, whether it's three things, maybe it's one thing that God's going to speak to you today. Write it down. And so we're in this new series, Check the Source. And the idea behind the series is sometimes we have people around us and we listen to what they say. Sometimes you and I struggle with a voice in our head that tells us things a lot of times, and it's time that you and I, as people, start to check the source of where we're getting our information, okay? So we're jumping in. There's always about a 50-50 chance I'm going New Testament, Old Testament. We're going Old Testament today to start the series, and it shocks no one that's been at Vertical for all of 40 minutes, okay? And so turn to Numbers 13 with me. Turn to Numbers 13 with me. Numbers 13, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. Someone needs to underline or highlight, which I am giving to the people of Israel, because that's very important that the Lord said that. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So the Lord started scripture telling them, this is a land, I'm going to give it to you. You go spy the land that what I'm giving to you. Go spy it over, look it over, see the land that I'm giving to you. And by the way, when we get to this point, God's done things like lead them with a cloud of fire. He's done things like split the Red Sea. And then not only did he split the Red Sea, he had the Red Sea crash in on one of the most powerful armies of the time, the Egyptians. He supplied things like manna, which is like bread in the desert so they could eat. They've seen all kinds of miracles happen for them to get to this point. We'll move ahead to verse 17. Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up to Negev and go into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are trees or not, a very important question anytime you're surveying the land, by the way. That's a great question, Moses. And then he finally says, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the season was the first ripe grapes. It's interesting to me that he says, be of good courage. Why do they need to be of good courage? They've already seen God do all those miracles, right? Surely at this point, their faith is enough. They don't need courage at this point, right? He says, be of good courage. Why do they need to be of good courage? God's already said, go look at the land that I'm what giving you. Why do they need courage? If we can ever relate with people in the Bible, it should be the Israelites, if we're being honest. They've seen God do all these things, but how quickly we are to forget, because as soon as he sends them out, they said, be of good courage. Be of good courage one more time as you have to step out in faith. Be of good courage. You see, when God calls us or plants something in our life, whether it's a plan for us, a purpose for us, a calling for us, when he plants that in our life, there's going to come a point where we need to be of good courage to see it fulfilled. There's going to be a point where we're going to have faith in our life to see it fulfilled. We're going to have to get to a point where there's got to be some trust in the Lord if we're going to see that fulfilled. Today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I'm not usually like this, but if you've been a Christian for a while and you know something to be true that's said today, will you say amen? Will you talk back to me? And I want to encourage you, it's not for me. It's not for me, even though it may sound weird. It's for someone in the building or online today that they're struggling with what we're going to talk about. They're not sure they've got the faith to hear it today. And I want the people to hear today that there's some Christians who've been around long enough who can testify that's true. That's true. If you're struggling with doubt, you're going to hear other Christians today speak up when they hear something that's true in Scripture that said, amen. And let that encourage your faith. Let it encourage your faith if you're struggling today. There's some people in the building or online today that are going to say some things. I know that to be true. So I encourage you, talk back to me today. Help us encourage some people who are wavering. Verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites, dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. You see, what's happening right now to the Israelites is exactly what happens in our lives so many times when God asks us to do something big or small. As soon as we start to have to maybe be called to do something outside of our comfort zone, as soon as God asks us to maybe do something we're not comfortable doing, we're not quite sure we can do it, what happens when the enemy comes in, and the enemy always tries to tell us this, as soon as God's trying to plant something in your life, as soon as God's trying to call you out into a purpose, a plan, something he wants to see you do in your life. This is what the enemy always shows up and tries to tell you as soon as you start looking at what you have to do. The enemy will always try to come and tell you what's in front of you is greater than God in and through you. The enemy is always, always going to try to come do that immediately before you can really step into it, immediately before you can try, before you can really get going. The enemy is always going to try to come tell you what's in front of you is greater than God in and through you. And that's exactly what happens right now to the Israelites. Remember verse 2 of Numbers 13. God's already said, the land you're going to look at, I don't need the scattering report or anything like that. I'm just telling you, go look at the land that I'm giving you. That's not a gray area. The Lord's already said, I'm giving it to you, but the spies somewhere along the line, whether it was when they were looking at the land or coming back from the land, all of a sudden they started hearing a different voice. They started hearing a different voice that was no longer telling them, that's the land I'm giving you. They heard a different voice that said, look at the strong fortified cities. They heard a voice that said, look how big the people are. Look, there's so many of them. How many of us, when we start to look to maybe step out to what God's calling us to, we all of a sudden start to hear a different voice that tells us why we can't do that, why what's in front of us is greater than God in and through us. Look what verse 30 says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. I want to teach you guys a question. I want to teach you a question, and it's something I wish I had learned so much earlier in life. This question right here would have saved the Israelites. It would save you and I from so much heartbreak, so much pain, so much difficulty. Write this question down, and this question will help you check the source in your life. Here's the question. It's not overly complicated. The question you need to ask, who told you that? Who told you that? What Moses should have asked right in this moment when 10 of his 12 spies came back and said, we cannot take the land, after he's heard the Lord say, I will give you that land, the question should have been to those 10 people who said, there's no way we can take it. He should have asked, who told you that? Who told you that? When that voice in your head says, you'll never be a good mother, you'll never be a good wife, who told you that? When the voice in your mind says, you'll never amount to anything, my question back is, who told you that? When the voice says, you can't step into what God's calling you to, it's too great in front of you, God can't use you, the question you should always ask from now on is, who told you that? Because right now, When we are living, it's the most important time of our life because right now is the only time we can affect. Right now, you and I are the carriers of hope when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our forefathers are gone. The people in front of us haven't come yet. Right now, we have the hope. We are tasked with the gospel. And if so many Christians are weighed down from lies from the enemy that what's in front of us is greater than God in and through us, that we can't step up, we're listening to the wrong voice. How can we expect anyone else to hear the right voice if we're not listening? But see, he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. So he comes in and he tells people, you can't do that. You're not going to succeed. I wrote a paper in one of my religion classes in college. I got a prestigious degree in youth ministry. And one of my papers I got back, I thought I did real well. You ever turn in a paper that you thought, I nailed this. I did well on this. Some of you are like, I may have passed this. I get the paper back in the audacity of the professor. The audacity of the professor. He gives it back to me, and they always got that red ink. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the red ink. Give me some out of the color. He turns it in with red ink back to me. It's like a 65. I said, good sir. Good sir, I know you are paid, are probably underpaid here at Lee University, but this is incorrect. That dude, with all due respect, had marked off 30-something points because I didn't source my references properly. It's nothing to do with my content. It had nothing to do with my writing. I had just messed up. If you ever had to list your references, source your references at the bottom, they all got like different styles. I don't know who invited and invented all the different sourcing styles at the bottom of the paper, but I swear to you, it was a plan of the enemy, okay? And so they come back and they tell me, no, you made a 65 or 67. It had nothing to do with the content of your paper. You just didn't cite the sources correctly. Your boy was not happy about this news. I don't care why you gave me the 65 or 67 if it had nothing to do with the content of the paper. But here's the thing is, the idea behind that is citing your sources, where you're getting your information, defines your credibility. Where you're getting your information defines your credibility. And so these 10 of the 12 spies come back and they say, we've got information. And Moses should have said, I want to check the source on that information because what I've been told is God's going to give us that land. You see, I think something that hurts us is sometimes if we're honest, it's hard to hear from the Lord. The voice is so deceptive. It's hard to hear, is this really the Lord? Is this the enemy? I don't know where this is going. I want to help you as you face things here. You can write this down. Faith leads you to trust in God over yourself. Faith leads you to trust in God over yourself. But watch this. Fear leads you to trust in only yourself. That's how you can start to decipher the voices in your head. If one is leading you to go, trust in God, I know this is bigger than you, but I promise you it's not bigger than God, that voice is the Lord. That voice is leading you to put your trust in the Lord, not yourself. But if the voice is telling you, look how big the people are. Look how big the people are. Look at the fortified cities. We're outnumbered. You'll never overcome this. If that voice is trying to sow fear into your life, I promise you it is not of the Lord. Because fear abounds in our life when we start trusting in just ourselves and we don't believe that there's a Lord who is greater than anything in front of us. Faith leads you to trust in God over yourself. Fear leads you to trust in only yourself. And see, here's what the enemy is trying to immediately do. The enemy is immediately, when God calls you to do something, when God asks you to do something, the enemy will immediately go into hyperdrive and try to poison that plan. He will try to poison what's been promised to you. See, the Lord doesn't lead you into fear. He leads you into faith. And see, Kaylin and I, my wife Kaylin and I, were taught by Julie, Pastor Dave, if you remember him, it's his wife, phenomenal woman of God. She puts it this way, when we're trying to figure out what voice and where to go, and maybe God's asking you to do something you're not real quite sure. You ever felt like this before? You're not quite sure what the next step's supposed to be. You're not quite sure if God's still with you in this. She taught us to do this, especially when you're struggling to hear the voice of the Lord. Follow the peace. follow the peace. Sometimes you can't quite hear the voice of the Lord. It happens to all of us at times, but you can always follow the peace. Why? Because what's one of the things Jesus is titled as? The Prince of Peace. What's one of the fruits of Holy Spirit? Peace. You want to know what will never come? Peace. So if you can't hear the voice of the Lord right now and you're searching and you're trying to figure out where do I go, what do I do, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing right now, follow the peace. Now, it's a whole different ballgame if you're just in blatant sin in your life and you got a lot of peace about it. That's because you're not talking with Holy Spirit and Jesus right now. I can promise you that's a whole different conversation. But right now, if you're struggling to hear from the Lord, follow the peace in your life. You see, the Bible is always going to line up with peace. The Bible always lines up what God calls us to. It's not going to contradict the Word of God, and it's not going to contradict itself. The Holy Spirit's never going to contradict the Word. So if you're following Holy Spirit, if you're following what the Word of God says, you will follow peace. And it's an internal peace. It's not a promise of external peace. I mean, your life can be on fire around you, am I right? But you can have an internal peace because it comes from the Lord. Look what happens in verse 32. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height." All the people are of great height. "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Watch what happens here. See, the enemy's already come in. He's already trying to deceive. He's maybe got your attention a little bit. You're already starting to doubt. That whole idea of be of good courage seems like 3,000 years ago in your life. When the voice becomes poison. You see, the enemy will always try to poison the promise when it's planted. When the Lord comes in to plant that calling, that purpose, that next thing he's asking you to do, you can guarantee riding his coattail behind him will be the enemy immediately trying to poison that promise, that purpose, that calling that God wants you to step into. Why? Why is he so quick to try to poison it? It's because if you get to see the fulfillment of what God's asking you to do, your faith grows. It starts to blossom. And when you start to eat of the fruit of what the faith you've lived out, what you start seeing God doing, it's harder and harder for the enemy to try to get you to step back. Doesn't the scripture tell us, taste and see that the Lord is good? The easiest people to deceive that that is not true are the people who've not yet tasted. Because that verse says, taste. It's an action. Go do that. But if you never do that, you never quite believe. And so the enemy will always try to poison the promise before it's fulfilled. See, he can't poison the promise after you get into the promised land, right? All the Israelites, if they go wipe them out, they step into what God has for them, and then the enemy tries to go, "You can't take this land." And you look back and go, "I'm literally eating the fruit of this land." Okay, see, that the poison doesn't work as well once you've seen God do what he says he's going to do. So he must stop you before you see the faithfulness of God. He must stop it, and that's why he will immediately step in to poison the promise, poison what God's trying to do in your life, and get you to not step into it. See, the voice wants to come in. He wants to erode your faith. He wants to erode your trust. He wants to erode your courage. And if we're honest, if we're just having an honest moment, is it not easier to believe the enemy sometimes? Is it not easier if we're just being honest when the voice of the enemy comes and tells you those people are like giants? It's not hard to believe because you've seen, yes, they're giants. Get a slingshot. When the voice of the enemy tries to tell you you've sinned too much, you've messed up too much, God can't use you, is it not easier to believe sometimes because we know our faults? Is it not easier to go, you know what, he's right. I have messed up too much. God's going to have to send somebody else because I'm damaged goods. You want me to tell you what the enemy does a lot of times? Is he's a great salesman. He'll come tell you what you already want to believe. The enemy's going to come and try to tell you what you already want to try to believe about yourself. You believe that you're never going to be a great husband or father, and he'll come tell you that. You're never going to meet anyone. No one wants you, and the enemy steps in and tells you that. You're never going to amount to anything. You can't be used by God. You already wanted to believe that. But I'm here to tell you, ask the question, who told you that? Check the source on that information, because I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I see all through Scripture God using broken people, messed up people, people who most certainly have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But at some point in their life, they started checking the source, and they started listening to the Lord in spite of their brokenness, in spite of their failures, in spite of their doubts about what God could or couldn't do. They started stepping in with faith to what God wanted to do, and they saw God do what only He can do. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 1. Look at that. We got through a whole chapter, and there's more coming. Some of y'all panicking, looking over at your spouse. Ricky brought me to this church. He's doing two chapters today. Look at verse 1. Numbers 14, verse 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. The people wept that night. There's a loud cry. They're weeping. That's not just some tears. I mean weeping. What has happened is the question you should ask. Where did we start off reading? It's Numbers 13, 1 through 2, right? This whole scenario, this whole story started simply by God saying, go look at the land I'm giving you, right? Is that not where we started this story? God said, go look at the land I'm giving you. Some of you highlighted or underlined it when I asked you to. Now, to start off the next chapter, what are the people doing? They're weeping. They're weeping. What has happened? They started listening to the wrong voice. They started listening to the wrong voice. Nothing's changed about the land. The people were giants before they went to spy out the land. Those things about the promised land hadn't changed. It was simply, who are you listening to? Maybe you've walked in today and you're struggling with the plans or purposes or what God wants to do in your life. You're struggling with doubt right now. The question you need to ask is, who told you the information you're believing right now? Who told you that God doesn't want to work in your life? Who told you that God can't use you? Who told you that you're never going to amount to anything as a husband or father or wife or mother or friend or spouse? Or who told you all that information? Because all it takes is listening to the wrong voice for you to go from promise to weeping. I love history. Love history. And in World War II, the Allies had a group of soldiers called the Ghost Division. The Ghost Army, they called them. And these troops would go around with blow-up tanks, like inflatables. These troops would go around and they would play the sounds of troops marching, with tanks rolling, with troops digging. And they would go around simply to deceive the enemy. See, their most successful operation, what they are known most for, was Operation Viersen, which took place from March 18th to March 24th, 1945. And I'm quoting DeCures right now if you want to go look that up. For that mission, the Ghost Army used 600 inflatable vehicles, fake uniform patches to impersonate soldiers from other units, recordings of pontoon bridge building, all this to deceive the Germans into believing that the 30th Infantry Division and the 79th Infantry Division were preparing to cross the Rhine River. And it worked. The Germans moved the bulk of their defenses across the river from the suspected location of the two divisions, and they shelled an army that didn't exist. Where you get your information from is so important. Wars were won and lost on good intelligence, good reports, having facts they could trust. The German army moved the bulk of their defenses to go guard against inflatable tanks. You and I, so many times, when we start hearing maybe what we were already tempted to believe, start believing that what's before us is greater than God in and through us, when we start listening to false reports about what the enemy says about something rather than what God says about something, we start to live our life in a different way. We start to react to false reports rather than what God said, right? It's why you can go from a promise of God to weeping one chapter later is bad reports. Verse 2, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation at this point said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." You want me to tell you what the enemy's going to do after he deceives you, once he starts to poison the promise? Here's what he will always, always, always try to tell you at this point. Once he's got you distracted, once you're not focusing on what God said, once you're not focusing on the Lord, this is what he will come tell you and I every single time when we're wavering. The enemy will come and tell us, old bondage is better than a new blessing. The enemy will, without a doubt, come try to tell you old bondage is better than a new blessing. The people had gone through the Red Sea. They've seen the Egyptians drown. They've seen manna come from heaven. They literally, physically get reports of the promised land. And now they're ready to go willingly give themselves back up to slavery rather than step in to one more time where they have to have faith that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. I fully believe there's people who've walked in the building today who are watching online, and the enemy's been deceiving you. You're wavering at best right now. You're discouraged. You're disappointed. Things are not looking the way that you thought they would look. You're starting to believe those reports in your life that you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be a good spouse. You're never going to be a great friend. You're never going to see God move in your life. And I'm here to tell you, who told you that? Who told you that? Let me tell you something. I know there's some Christians in the building. I know there's some people online right now that want to encourage you. Do not go back to old bondage. Right now, the enemy's trying to tell you, go back to your life in comfort and sin. Go back to the sins. Go back to the chains. Go back to the things you knew. And I'm here to tell you with some other people, do not go back to old bondage. Do not go back to old bondage. Go toward a new blessing. Go toward what God's calling you to do today. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. God is who he says he is. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament says, "I remain confident of this. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And the next verse says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." You can remain confident of something even though you've not seen it yet. You can remain confident while you wait on God to do what he says he's going to do. You can remain confident while taking heart and being of good courage. Do not go back to old bondage. Do not go back to Egypt. Do not go back to the things that God has saved you from. As a matter of fact, burn the boats, do whatever you got to do. Do not go back. Because the blessing of stepping into what God has in front of you, it changes your life. It changes your life. Do not believe the lies that you're not going to amount to anything. Do not believe the lies that God can't use you. Do not believe the lies that you are too broken to be used by God right now. Remain confident in this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's time for us to start listening to a good report, and that is the Word of God. Come on, somebody. It's okay to clap. Encourage somebody in the building today. So, Lord, right now, I pray for the hearts and minds online and in the building who they're wavering, who maybe even had started to turn back to old bondage because they thought that's what's best for them. That's all they can amount to. That's all that life has for them is old bondage, old slavery, old ways, old sins. But Holy Spirit, we ask that you move in every single life right now. My life, all of our lives, those online right now. Holy Spirit, will you start training our minds to ask, who told you that? Holy Spirit, will you work in our lives to start checking the source, to start saying, where did you get that report? Who told you that? Can you start training our minds to trust in the scripture that we can remain confident of this, that in the land of the living, we will see the goodness of the Lord, that we can wait, we can take heart, we can be of good courage and wait on you, Lord. Holy Spirit, won't you stir our hearts? I don't care if we don't see it yet. I don't care if it hasn't come to fruition yet. Holy Spirit, will you grant us the courage to wait upon you, Lord? Maybe right now you know your heart's heavy because a family member, maybe a good friend, a coworker, you know they're in bondage right now. Your heart's heavy for them. Lift them up in prayer right now. Pray that the Lord will break those chains, break those yokes, let them step into freedom in Christ. Maybe you've walked in today and you're struggling. The enemy's been telling you to go back to old bondage, to go back to old sins. Maybe you need to commit to yourself to the Lord to say, I don't want to go back. God, I will wait on you. I will step into what you're calling me to. Holy Spirit, move. Maybe you need to come down front and pray for that coworker. Maybe you need to come down and pray for that family member that you know is living in bondage right now. And pour your heart out to the Lord and say, Lord, won't you set them free? Won't they step out of Egypt, step out of bondage? God, won't you make a way for them forward? So, Holy Spirit, we give this time to you. Won't you move in a mighty way? We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.